Hi, everybody. I'm Beattie Cohen-Bredos, and welcome again, my friends, to the Ask Beattie Show. And just before the show began, I had taken out a calculator and I was trying to figure out how many Ask Beattie shows I have done in the last 11 years. So if you take 52 weeks times 11, today is 572 shows. And it's amazing when I first moved to New York, and I remember my initial meeting with Gary Null. And I had told him that I had hosted many call-in counseling, radio talk shows, national, local television. And, we sat in the office on Broadway in New York City. And of course, the office has actually moved multiple times since that day. And it's just absolutely amazing where the time has gone. And of course, thousands and thousands of people have tuned in. And I thank you so much for your emails and your comments. And we can disagree, and that's all okay. And as you know, and of course, there are always first-time people, and they may be wondering right now, who is Beattie Cohen-Bredos? Well, I am a psychotherapist and a sex therapist, and I'm the author of the groundbreaking book on relationships. And I say this every single week. It is so much a book that I wish that I had had when I first began my own dating and relationship life. And, I was saying to somebody yesterday, there are just three things that we all need to know and we all need to learn if we're ever hoping to have a successful relationship. And I'm going to quickly just tell you, and you're thinking, three things, like, what is she talking about? Well, the first thing is that each of us really needs to be in a good place emotionally and psychologically and psychiatrically. And we need to be willing to do some emotional work and work through the traumas and the depression and what did and did not happen in our own families of origin, where, of course, this is where everything begins. And the reality, of course, is that we can't change our history. And of course, we can't change anyone, only ourselves. But what I've found over the years, and I've been practicing as a psychotherapist and sex therapist now, and this is another number that I absolutely cannot believe, for over 35 years. And I've, of course, treated thousands and thousands of men and women and children from every single walk of life. But there is a way, there really is a way, even though we can't change our past, to help people to emotionally work through what did and did not happen in their lives. It really stops them from being able to live a joyful and happy life in the moment. And yes, it takes some work to do, and it takes some kind of a commitment, in fact, a real commitment. And yet, when you do this kind of work, people tell me for the first time in their lives, they're really able to live in the moment without having one foot in the past, in the present. So that if you're finding that the unfinished business and what I call the skeletons in the closet, in your closet specifically, are continuing to get in the way of your life and relationships, all I can tell you is you can take that step, and you can take that step today and make a commitment. And of course, reach out and find a really great qualified therapist. And of course, another story, of course, is that all therapists are not great and not all therapists are qualified despite their credentials. So again, we have to be very, very careful who we let into our lives in all kinds of ways. So that's number one. Number two, we also have to become students, relationship education students, and become very aware of the real ingredients that go into a healthy relationship. And of course, number three is my formula. And I really am proud of this particular work. I wrote the book, For Better, For Worse, Forever, Discover the Path to Lasting Love, for my daughter Jordana when she was a little girl. And I was hoping that she was going to be able to avoid some of the challenges that her mom had when she was growing up. So what did I do? I did research with 450 people in the Boston, Providence, and Connecticut area. And as a result of the research, I came up with a 10-step formula that teaches us how to accurately assess. Yes, it's not sexy, it's not a romantic word, but accurately evaluate and accurately assess who's really right for us and wrong for us before committing to any serious relationship. And what I've found, and I mean, people have told me this, and again, the book has been out since 2000. It really does. It changes the way that we look at people, and it changes the way that we look at relationships forever. You know, and for example, that before I did this work, I would meet somebody. I'd meet a woman, I'd meet a man, and I might say, I've met this lovely person. Well, what I've learned over the years is that I would never say that I've met a lovely anybody, or I've never met anybody who I would say is trusting and nice. And what the research really found, and Beattie in her personal life is probably one of the most impatient people that you will ever want to know. Professionally, of course, it's a whole different story. And what my research found is that it takes about a year using the formula. Yes, using the formula to accurately find out who somebody is and who somebody is not. So this is sort of my raison d'être in many ways as an educator. And of course, you know, I'm in national and local television, and one of the greatest gifts I think that I have been given has been the privilege to work with people in my private practice here in New York City and also in East Hampton. And what an education I've gotten. I mean, I have worked with and met people who I would never, ever have had the opportunity or privilege to work with in my own personal life. I mean, after all, I came from an Orthodox Jewish Winnipeg, Canada, small town city. And so this work, and I don't even really look at it as work, it's really broadened my horizons in ways that I cannot believe. And I know that it has made me a much nicer, a much smarter, a more impassioned and compassionate and empathic person just by the very nature of the people who I have met along this journey. So people will ask me, you know, when I tell them, yes, I've been hosting the Ask Beattie Show here on the Progressive Radio Network, they say, so what is this show all about? Well, ideally, when Gary Null and I first started to talk about this, it was going to be Beattie's Ask Beattie call-in counseling radio talk show, as I always had. And I think what's happened, you know, people are at work, people are busy. And although I still encourage you to call in, and if you have an issue or a question at some point in the show, you can call 888-874-4888. But basically, the show is about empowerment. We talk about all of the things that we can actually do, learn, and do to improve the quality of our lives and relationships. And of course, we talk about mental health. We talk about sexuality, because I'm also a sex therapist. We talk about relationships. And again, how and what to do to maximize our physical, our emotional, our psychological well-being despite the stressors of life. And we all have stressors of life and in life, and nobody is immune. So I have a mantra, and I hope that you're going to be able to embrace and take in my mantra, which is acknowledge, address, and resolve, being willing to acknowledge what may not be going well in your life, and then taking that second step and being willing to address it, not just put it in a drawer, hope or dream that things are going to just materialize and, you know, get better on their own, and then find ways to resolve as best as we can. Nothing's perfect. You know, I'll hear people say, well, I'm not perfect. Well, nobody's perfect and nothing is perfect. So be able to resolve as best as we can the things that continue to get in the way of our lives. And one thing, I mean, there are many things that I hope that I've convinced you over the years, but I hope that I've really convinced you is that we don't need to take this journey. We don't need to navigate the ups and downs of life on our own. And reaching out to family, if you're lucky to have great family and friends, and if need be, a professional, can really make our life journey so much easier and less isolated. And I think that all the studies on happiness tell us that it is that connection, it is that support that is what really contributes to people's happiness. It is not the stuff. It is not the bigger, better, more, although those, kinds of things are fun to have. It is our relationships, our really wonderful, loving, supportive relationships and connections that really make the difference in our lives. Well, I'm going to very, very quickly, because I have a terrific guest and I'm just so eager to introduce her to you. But I want to really quickly go through my weekly how are you doing self-assessment. So if you're looking at your mental health, how is that coming along? I mean, are you generally feeling okay, again, despite the ups and downs of life? But if you're finding that the depression, anxiety, substance abuse, other problems, psychological, emotional, psychiatric problems are really getting in the way of your life, have I convinced you sufficiently that you don't need to just do this on your own and that the very best thing that you can do is to reach out and get some really, really good health, really good help. And again, looking at your relationships, do you have, and I hope you can say yes to this, do you have people in your life who you really can, depend on and who care about you and who you actually care about as well? And hopefully that's true. And hopefully it is your family. And if you have children and your friends. And I have a really strong philosophy of life about relationships, and that is a zero toxicity policy. And if you're finding that your relationships are poisonous and toxic, and some people will say, well, it only happens on occasion, or they're not always poisonous and toxic and dysfunctional. And you've heard me say this over and over again, that a little bit of poison will kill us. And we have to be, again, very, very careful who we let into our lives. And what about issues like substance abuse? Hopefully, you are taking care of your business if you have substance abuse issues. And if you're not sure, you really might want to check with somebody who you care about and who really cares about you and just kind of check in and seeing how you're doing if you've been suffering with an alcohol or drug. And of course, that also includes prescription and over-the-counter medication as well. And when it comes to our physical health, people make excuses all the time. I can't exercise. I can't walk. I don't have time to really think about my diet. Well, again, asking yourself the important question, am I living my life in ways that are really in my best interest? And that includes taking care of our physical health, which includes sleeping. How is your sleeping pattern? And it is important to be able to get 7 or 8 hours of, continuous restful sleep most nights, and to put away our devices and to turn off our phones. And some days I would like to take my phone and just throw it out of the window. But of course, that would not be the responsible thing to do. But I find more and more that people are on their phones, they're gaming till all hours of the night. Not a good thing. So today's a day where, again, it's about asking yourself and being honest, am I being good to myself? And that's really a question, a first order of business question. And again, your goals, you feel that you're really on the right path. And overall, in terms of life satisfaction, and I'll ask patients all the time on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 is terrible, 10 is wonderful, where would you put yourself in terms of life satisfaction and meaning? and purpose. And again, if you're finding that things are off, we can't change what happened yesterday. We can't change what happened 30 seconds ago. But today, my late father used to say all the time, I mean, today is a new day. So today we can begin a new trajectory. We can begin to get ourselves on a new, constructive, and happier path with and without help. And again, people will say, well, I should be able to do all of this on my own. And I say, well, nobody needs to do any of this on our own. So hopefully your weekly check-in has been largely positive. And if it's not, I hope that I have given you sufficient motivation, to begin to try to put things back on track. Well, I am so excited. I am so excited to introduce you to a really terrific woman who I met only recently. And Terry Huberman, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hello, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you look beautiful, and I am so glad that you are here. And I want people to know that Terry is an intuitive healer, the real deal. Otherwise, she wouldn't be on my show. And teacher, specializing in guiding individuals with heightened spiritual empathy, anxiety, and overwhelming sensitivity to emotions who struggle with indecision. I'm going to ask you a lot about that. Her mission is to empower individuals into energetic transformation and turn these challenges into strengths by helping them cultivate emotional resilience, access their intuition, which we all have, whether we know it or not, gain control over chaos, which we know there is a lot of chaos in life today, and harness the laws of the universe for healing. And at the end of the show, I will tell you Terry's website, which of course is terryhuberman.com, TerryHuberman.com. So Terry, welcome, welcome.
Oh, thank you, BD. It's so nice to see you again.
It is so nice to see you again. I wish you were here. Terry, of course, is in California, warm California, and here in New York, it was in the 30s. It was cold today.
I am not envious. I am not envious.
No. So let's start at the beginning. How did all of this happen with you that you became an intuitive healer and teacher and psychic? How did it happen?
How did it all happen? Well, first of all, on my mom's side of the family, it does run, or high intuition does run on my mom's side of the family. So my sisters and my mom and my mom's mom all have these gifts. I just decided to do something with it. They didn't.
They didn't.
They didn't. So, I mean, they've got it. They just don't necessarily use it like I do. And I made a business out of it as well.
Right.
So, yeah. So what happened? I mean, I remember at the age of 25, I started dabbling with tarot cards. Yeah, so that was always fun to do. I would just do readings and I would get validation from people, and I thought that was kind of interesting because I was just playing around, but weird things would happen to me my entire life.
Real, even beginning when you were a little girl, did you know that there was something else going on within you that
Yeah.
maybe most people didn't know or didn't have?
Yeah. So, I can't remember. I think it was about 2 or 3 years old. And this is gonna
Wow.
sound weird, but I was about 2 or 3 years old, and I remember like sort of being called to, or like, get out of the bed and just look out the window. And
Wow.
yeah, and I saw in the sky something. Okay. So all these years I've put in the back of my head, it must have been like the Goodyear blimp or whatever. I mean, I really don't know what it was, if it was whether it was a UFO or whatnot, but it was just kind of like 2 or 3 years old, and you're like being called out of bed, like to go look at the sky. It's kind of weird. In my opinion, it's weird.
Yeah, different for sure. Did you tell your mom that this weird thing happened?
I can't remember because I was also so young, you
Yeah,
know?
yeah.
So I can't really remember that, but I do. I think my first real, well, that was my first real like memory of something like that. But I was probably about 7, 8, 9 around there. And I was sleeping in my bed and I felt my covers being kind of pulled off of me. And I thought that was kind of strange. So I sat up in bed and in my room, I had like the closet doors were mirrors. And so I sat up, and when I saw like a reflection of myself, I had a wolf's head. And I thought, oh my God,
Wow.
I don't want to deal with this. So I laid back down in bed, pulled my covers over me, and I was like, no, we're not having any of this. But I also
Kind of
remember.
scary. That must have been really sort of scary. Weird, scary. Were you scared?
Yes, I was definitely scared at that moment because I put the covers over me. But
Yeah.
I was always having weird dreams and just always doing weird things. Like I remember in school, I think I was in like the fourth or fifth grade, and I was with a girlfriend, and we would just try it, like in the mirror, we would try and move, make our earrings move. You know,
Okay.
like that's like what kid does that? Like who does that kind of thing? You know, and I was raised in a household. I also grew up Jewish, and so there's mysticism. And on top of that,
Yes.
my mother is Cuban, so there was a she when she grew up, there was, you know, a lot of the oh gosh, the name is escaping me. The religion, I can't remember the religion. Even though we were Jewish, it was just like all around. So I grew up in a
Yes.
very open, mystical kind of family. My dad was like, whatever, he didn't care. But yeah, so we were just always like raised in just, you know, an open kind of mindset like that. So it was, gosh, I think it was like 2010, around 2010, when I started to really, really play with this. So I was an adult by then, and I joined a paranormal group, and we would go ghost hunting. And I would have these impressions, and I was on the team. I was known as what's called the sensitive because I'd be able to gather information. And so I would give information to the team leader. We would be in a certain location or environment that was allegedly haunted. I would receive impressions, write down everything, and give it to like the historian of the group, and a lot of my information was validated. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then I had my first mediumistic experience, and that really scared me. So all these other things leading up to it, my entire life, the weird stuff, I was like, oh, okay, it's kind of fun and playful.
So what happened with this medium experience?
Yeah.
Where were you? Where
Yeah.
were you?
So I was with the team, and we were, I think it was called the West Covina. Was it West Covina? I can't remember what city it was. It was a firehouse and jail cell. So throughout the years, at one point it was a jail cell, at one point it was a firehouse. There was a heritage house on the property as well. So there was a museum in another building. And so part of the team was investigating in the Heritage House Museum part. And then the rest of us, we were investigating the jail cell. And so we were sitting in the jail cell, and all of a sudden, I just felt like physically, I just felt like I was kind of being taken over, and my body was just heavy. So I knew I was Terry. But there was also someone else inside my body and inside my brain. And I was like, oh, what is this? Like, well, this is interesting.
Was it scary? And I'm thinking if you had come to probably, if I'm going to be really honest, to me or to a psychiatrist. And if you were talking about all of this, I would have been very concerned whether you were hallucinating, whether there was audio, whether there was visual, whether she was psychotic. But none of that was true.
Correct. I mean, I figured I'd now have to like go, you know, get a 5150 hold or something. Oh, no. But I also knew at the same time that I was safe and like everything was okay. And I just needed to let this play out. My body just felt very heavy and I just felt very locked in. And so I let it play out. What was happening to me on the outside was different than what was happening to me on the inside. So on the outside, I was rocking and I was crying and I went into this fugue of automatic writing. Wow. And on the inside, I was just apologizing profusely for treating my men horribly. So what came out was that I was the head fire chief guy who was horrible and terrible to all the firemen who were stationed under me. Again, I don't know like the rankings or anything like that, but all this information was coming out of my body physically while inside it was a whole other experience. So when everything played out and when it was done, the session, whatever was done, I mean, I was physically exhausted and the historian went to start looking information and found microfiche of all the information of this guy, his name. I said his name was Dick because that's how he was coming to me, was his name was Dick. Unbeknownst to any of us on the other side of the property in the Heritage House, they caught an EVP, which is electronic voice phenomena, of the name Richard, which Dick is the nickname short for Richard.
Right.
And that was this fire guy's head guy's name was Richard. And then they found all this information. So that's
which was
how
validated, which was
correct.
Validated information.
Which made me feel way less insane.
I would guess, because again, I think you're typical therapist, and I'm not typical by any means, but I think what I would have asked had you come to see me was this dynamic in some way symbolic of something that had gone on in your real, you know, this life, and whether or not you had been mean and terrible, and whether this was something that you were just trying to process, you know, some unconscious things that were happening. Yeah. But you're saying all of this information was actually validated.
It was validated. There was like articles and newspapers and stuff like that. So that made me feel really, really good, way less insane. At the same time, I knew that this was going to happen again. I just had this inner knowing. Uh-huh. So I went and I studied with a British medium, Lisa Williams, and so I went through vigorous public testing and validation. And so, because it was happening again, but I learned how to control it and I was learning how to actually help people with it. So it was something that I didn't know I was a medium. I mean, all of this really, that big, huge experience happened to me like when I was 40 years old. So, I mean, that's like old. It's not old, but I mean, like, you know.
Right. Older.
Yeah.
So are you able, and then I am so eager, and I know the people who I told that you were coming on the show, they wanted me to ask you about the people who contact you and what you do and how you work. But are you able, and again, people ask me the same thing, are you able to sort of turn this all off?
Yeah.
So that you are just you and you're having a latte with someone and you're not seeing things, hearing things. There's nothing else going on other than enjoying some latte.
Yeah. As a human, I have to do human things.
Yes.
So, yes, I do have to control it. At first, what I would use is what is called a trigger. I would use a physical object that anytime I had it on,
Yes.
I was not going to be bothered by the spirit world. When I took it off, you know, like a professor who has office hours, that's how I viewed it. And that's how I learned how to control it. There were appropriate times for it to happen and inappropriate times for it to happen. So I learned how to manage and control it. I don't have to wear a ring for that now. I actually wear a ring now for other purposes. It's more for protection from incoming energies. There's certain color frequencies that like help protect your auric field, your electromagnetic field, which that's science that everybody has an electromagnetic field. And we have energy centers, and there's electricity of the heart and the brain and all of that. So that's all science, which makes us energetic beings. But yeah, I
Is
started.
anything happening now? Like right now, here we are. We have a lot of people that are listening to this.
Yeah, it's
Now,
great.
is it yes. Is anything happening? Now, you and I were having this conversation. And are you just having this conversation with me, the therapist and host, or is something else going on right now with you and me?
With you and me right now, no, I'm not really sensing anything. Could something be happening? Sure, but if I'm not tuned into that frequency, I'm not going to notice it. So, I haven't necessarily tuned myself into like when it comes to mediumship, it's a much different frequency that I actually have. It's more physically taxing, so I have to operate differently. When I use my psychism, it's a much lighter, higher frequency, and so it's way easier for me to navigate. I read energy. I've evolved into a healer, so I'm not just a psychic and a medium,
Yes.
which is mediumistic energy is a lower vibrational frequency. It's heavier, it's denser, it's thicker, and it takes a much longer time to not only access, but navigate through because of how slow those energetic waves are moving.
So as a healer, contact you. What do they call you? What is it that people who contact you, what are they looking for specifically? Again, in my world, the presenting problem. So what are the presenting problems
Yeah.
that people will then contact you about?
Well, most of the time they're spiritual empaths, so they're highly sensitive, and there's something going on in their life that they're confused about or they're in indecision about, and because they are so highly emotional. So feelings are emotions, and emotion is energy in motion. So if they're highly emotional, that means they're super, super sensitive. So what happens is I help kind of ground them down or teach them how to ground themselves down so that they can access their own intuition. Because if they're too emotional, it's hard for them to access and get into their own, you know, their own system, their own picker, their own chooser, right? So I give them a lot of life guidance. But I kind of steer them into managing their emotions through using energy.
So give me an example. Do you know that before you give me the example, looking at maybe a mini case history here, I was interviewed a couple of weeks ago by a reporter on Limerick. Where are you familiar with that? With people who are so sensitive, so empathic, so overly who believe that they have this love connection with somebody who they may not even know
Yeah,
is
so limerence. Yes, I'm very familiar
limerence.
with that. Yes,
Yes.
yes,
Yes.
yes. So you know what? It's a really good question because energetically, let me just sort of explain it as like an entanglement or an enmeshment. So like in psychological terms, it would be an enmeshment, but an energetic, it's an entanglement. I also feel that like depending on like the work, energy work needs also a psychological perspective. I call earth work. So you have people who are just sort of away with the fairies, if you want to call it, that put too much focus and energy on spirituality.
Right.
And oftentimes they can use that as a bypass towards what the real problem is. So
Right.
when you have someone who's in limerence, there is an energetic entanglement, but there's still like the earthwork or the human, the psychological part that is at play, which is a type of codependence.
Yes,
So
yes.
that's sort of the best way to kind of explain it that way. So there has to be a detangling,
Right.
whether it's through psychology or whether it's through an energetic detachment.
So give us an example of somebody who contacts you, and specifically, what is their entanglement, and how do you help them to untangle?
Yeah. So, well, it does take time. So when I'm working with them in that aspect, it's not a one-on-one psychic reading. We're actually going into your operating system. How do you operate as a human, right? So a lot of times the way detachment works energetically is to actually activate law of repulsion, one of the universal laws, which means go into that energetic frequency instead of avoiding it.
What does that mean? Like, how would one do that?
Yeah.
Somebody is entangled, and so how would in sort of concrete terms, if it's possible,
Yeah,
you
it's hard to
know,
get that in.
explain this in a concrete way,
Yeah.
what happens? You're with somebody
Yeah.
and they're too enmeshed, they're too they're not living their
Yeah.
life in ways that are really working well in this world.
Right.
So you, what do you do?
So I guess in terms of like being an empath,
Yes.
empathic, which
Yes.
is taking on other people's problems, is it there's different facets of it. It's making them aware, learning about what their attachments are in physical reality in the material world. How do you attach to people, places, and things? So that's
Right.
one thing, understanding, oh, okay, I'm anxious attachment, or I'm an avoidant, or something like that, right? So understanding what that is. And then what I do is I kind of teach these little exercises, which to you and me might seem very like simple or like nonchalant, but I have them differentiate themselves from objects, from people, from circumstances. So, for example, I tell them you're going to go throughout the day and you're going to notice everything that you see, and you're going to say, I am not that couch. I am not, if you're at a mall, I'm not that woman with the blue purse. I am not that dog. So they have to have.
Question, these using this as an example, would a person actually worry or wonder that they were a couch or that they were a
No.
dog? Oh.
No, it's to differentiate that they are separate.
Got it.
It's sort of like a neuroplasticity for them to learn that they are not something else, right? So like, you know, I come, and a lot of Jewish people will just, you know, say that come from in a very enmeshed family, right? So I, in order for me to be my own person, I can't necessarily do what all the other people do. So a lot of times people are living out as an empath, you're not necessarily living your own life. You're living your life based on what other people say, do, or whatnot.
Right.
But from an energetic perspective, for you to understand that you are not something else, you
Yes.
collect back your own energy. So that's why I was saying it's like it to you and I, it might seem like a simple thing, but somebody might have some sort of emotional attachment to an object.
Right.
So they have to start understanding the separation. Now, in my program, when I'm teaching somebody, and I don't have the time to do it now, I actually teach them how energy works. Like, what is energy? Right now, I'm talking about energy this, energy that, but you have to have an understanding, like a scientific, simple, it doesn't have to be difficult, but an understanding of what energy is, because everything is made of energy, and there's physical energy and non-physical energy. So when you understand how energy works, and then you go, okay, I am not this cell phone, right? Then you begin to understand energetically differentiation so that you can go into a supermarket at some point and not be bombarded by everybody else's energy because you are not anything else.
So, do you work with therapists, or is this something, we have similar goals. We want
Correct.
people to do well and to
Yeah.
live their lives in ways that are in their best interest and not be a mess, and learn to say yes when they mean yes, and not say yes when they mean no, and to be separate entities. So you work, of course, in a very different way, but have you found it also helpful to collaborate perhaps at times with psychotherapists?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And I oftentimes am working with clients who are currently seeing a therapist. So this is really nice because oftentimes what happens is a therapist will, we're getting, just like you said, we're getting the same goal. They're
Right.
saying something one way, and then I'm kind of showing them how what their therapist is saying from just a different state of consciousness or a different
Yes.
perspective, a different point of view, and it'll click with them.
Yes.
Because on an energetic level, it's different. And again, the reason it's different is because when you understand how energy works, you can actually manipulate it. And not only that, you can trust it because it is science and it's going to continue. It works the same way all the time. So it's very predictable. When you understand how it works, it's very, very predictable. So yes, collaboration is like really great, really, really great. And then if you have somebody who comes in who's done a lot of trauma work on themselves, it's like it just exponentially just kind of works even better.
Say more about that, because over the years, I've treated hundreds and hundreds of people who've been sexually abused as
Yeah.
children, who had various different kinds of trauma experiences. And again, psychotherapeutically, there's certainly a way that I work. I start at the beginning and take them through it and help them to try
Yeah.
to emotionally process, so that the trauma becomes lessened emotionally and physically. So what would you do? Somebody comes in, they've been sexually abused, or there's been terrible trauma in their lives energetically, and I think I need to become a student because I don't really know much at all about energy. What would you do? Like, what would you say, and what would you do to somebody who is presenting with this sort of a problem?
Well, the body holds and physical energy and non-physical energy.
Right.
So, when we're dealing with spirituality, we're dealing with non-physical, non-tangible thoughts, concepts, all of those things. But so what a lot of people forget is that they need their human, they need the body in order to access that higher thought form or that higher, realm, let's just say.
Right.
So if somebody has some sort of trapped energy in their body because they haven't been able to release it or let it go, we can use energy to move that energy through.
How do you do that? Do you touch it like with Reiki?
Yeah.
Do you incorporate Reiki into your work? Do you touch somebody? Do you, what do you do?
So I don't do Reiki. When I do energy work, I will do pranic healing. And what pranic healing does is it cleans out and it clears. And that's what I focus on, is a lot of cleaning out and clearing space, so that whatever is already in there now has the space to integrate with what's existing. I don't have to put in more energy. So a lot of times what a healer will do is they'll put in more energy without cleaning something out.
How does that happen? Like, how do you put in, again, you're talking to someone who is just so, and I purposely wanted to ask you these questions because I'm sure there are people like me who know very little about this and who are so curious to learn. So how do you put in energy? What do you do? What do you say?
So I'm using the energy when I'm doing pranic healing. I'm using the energy of the environment around me. So the sun, the wind, whatever. There's certain hand placements that allow that to happen. There, again, I have to kind of show you, and you have to experience it. Again, this is the non-concrete stuff, right? I also use I use colors because there are energetic frequencies to colors. So again, we're using energy to move energy, right? And when you understand that energy is just, they're just subatomic particles that move at certain speeds and in certain patterns, that's why we look the way we look. Like BD's energy moves in and is in the certain at the certain speed and the certain pattern that looks like Beatty. My energy moves this way so that I look like Terry, right? So I am using sometimes crystals if I need crystals, because there is energetic frequencies to crystals. I'm using even sometimes, and I don't touch. There's the way I do is that there's no physical touch, but there are energy centers at the tips of our fingers. So a lot of times, and okay, put it this way, the currency AC and DC,
Yes, that I know.
right? So the energy moves in certain directions, right? So when you use energy in certain directions, you can either take out energy or you could put in energy. So it's the current of energetic frequencies that you're using.
So
So,
you mentioned the use of crystals and color. And, hopefully my audience are far more educated about all of this than me, but it's really interesting to learn. So what do you actually do with color and crystals? What do you do with them?
It's about pushing, pulling, moving. It's going to depend on what the energy that's already existing needs. So, for example, like a lot of what I do is brain and heart coherence, which is regulating the electricity of the heart mostly. And because we have very strong chakras at the tips of our fingers, we don't want to, on the heart center, be po like tapping, because I do a lot of tapping. So you're doing your own tapping on yourself. If you're not placing your fingers in the right way, you're putting too much energy in, and you can actually give yourself high blood pressure. So you're using energy to move to You're using energy to move energy, whether you're putting energy in, whether you're putting energy out. Colors have certain, what do we want to call it? Characteristics or attributes to them. So, for example, like the color orange has the frequency to repel energy, to push it away. Okay, so you're going to use the color. So you use these colors. How am I using it? I'm just using my hands. Like at its most basic form, it's my hands.
Now, your clients, they're obviously awake, they're engaged, they're listening, they understand what this is really all about. So how many approximately? Let's say somebody comes in and they've been having panic attacks and there could be some depression. How long, and maybe this isn't a fair question at all, because even with me, I couldn't say how long, this is going to take exactly if someone is coming in with some, major trauma. But what is the sort of, is there a usual, typical kind of time frame before people start to feel better, regardless of what their presenting problem is?
Sure, usually about six. Okay, if we're going to use the pranic healing, which is a whole different, like energy healing, it's a whole different, like I have several offers. If I'm just going to do that, ideally around six sessions, but that doesn't mean you're not going to feel relief before. So you'll feel relief typically that first session when we meet, but everything is based on consistency, right? Because you want to be able to like keep and hold something, right? You don't want to just like get it and like let it go. So usually about six sessions of this pranic healing will help depending on what somebody's coming in to with. I specialize in emotional healing and clearing.
Yes. No, I mean, your website is so impressive. Again, it's terryhoverman.com. And by the way, the show is going to be in the archives. There is a Progressive Radio Network archives, with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows. So you're going to be able to, do whatever it is that you would like to do with this particular show. And people who haven't been able to listen live, today, at 3 to 4, from 3 to 4 Eastern Standard Time, are always able to go to the archives and to be able to, to hear our conversation and to find out more about you and all of this. Terry, this is really a pleasure. And again, you're talking to somebody who is very uninformed. And that was one of the reasons why I really wanted to have you on, because I think that there are a lot of people like myself who are very curious about all of this and
Yes.
not dabbled, who haven't read, and I've read all the material that you sent me. I mean, really interesting, very different perspective, from the
Yeah.
perspective that that I bring to to healing. But no, very, very interesting. And as I said at the beginning of the show, the reason why I wanted to have you on, because I trusted what you had to say. I mean, there are a lot of healers, there's a lot of therapists I wouldn't give 2 minutes of my time to, in person or on a show or any other way. But this is, I mean, I find it fascinating, what you're saying, and I'm sure that my audience too would want to find out a lot more about you, about what you do, about your practice. So we're going to have everything on the Progressive Radio Network, the website, and they're going to be able to find you and contact you. So listen, this was great, and I'd love to be able to keep in touch with you.
Absolutely. Without a
Yeah, for sure. No, you're a joy, and I wish people could see you. I mean, you exude such positivity energy. I mean, well, you do.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
Absolutely. So again, thanks so much. We're going to wind down this segment. And again, it's terryhoverman.com. People will be able to listen to the show either later on today or tomorrow if you missed it. And so we'll be in touch.
Yeah.
And I want to leave my wonderful audience. I have two weekly messages that I leave everybody with, the same ones every single week. And of course, the first is to be cognizant and willing to do everything that you could possibly do to live your life in ways that are truly in your best interest. And I ask my patients all the time, people who've been engaging in a lot of destructive and self-destructive behavior, to monitor themselves throughout the day and ask themselves one question: is this good for me? It's a very, very, very important question. And the other message, of course, is that we all need to do a much, 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 much better job in learning to care about each other, accept each other, despite all of our differences, whether we're talking about personal differences or political differences or religious differences. There's got to be in our world today a much, 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 much better way to come together, to have conversations, and at least have the openness and willingness. I say this to couples, I say this to everybody that I know, to be willing to make some compromises and trade-offs and come up with a win-win resolution. This win-lose business is killing us. It's killing us in all facets of our life. So again, to be good to ourselves and to be open to, of course, in the Hebrew text, to the other. Very, very important for us to do that. So again, everybody, and Terry, I hope you're going to have a really great rest of the day. It was wonderful to have you on the show, Terry. And for my audience, I really am so appreciative, that you tune in every single week, and that you have, for the past 11 years. And I really do hope, that there's some little thing, and this is not egotistical or narcissistic, but there's some little thing that maybe I've said or Terry has said today that can make some little difference in your life, so that you'll live a happier and a more joyful life. So goodbye, everybody, and I will see you and talk with you next week and every week here on the Ask Beauty Show on the Progressive Radio Network. So have a good rest of the day. Be well, be good to yourself, and let's be good to others. Goodbye.